Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
We are at the Shrine of Remembrance in Melbourne and we just had a tour of the exhibition Spartans and Anzacs. And we're here with the curator of the exhibition, Mr. Neil Sharkey, who will talk to us about this beautiful, beautifully done exhibition. So thank you very much, Mr. Sharkey, for talking to us. And let's start with the title. What do the Spartans and Anzacs have in common?
Well, the Spartans and Anzac have something very interesting in common in that they both made a stand against a very large, powerful enemy that was arrayed against them at the same place. So the Thermopylae Bralas Pass area of central Greece along the Malian coast. And this is a very interesting coincidence of history and one that ever since I learned about this commonality that the two groups had in common, that I was always very keen to explore. And just over a year ago, I was approached by the 2nd Field Regiment Association. Now, the 2nd Field Regiment was a Victorian artillery regiment that was part of the 6th Division, the Australian component of the Anzac Corps that fought in Greece. And the most famous episode in their history is when their guns inflicted tremendous damage on German soldiers attacking the Bralas Pass. And in the days before that, two of the guns of this regiment had rained down shells on German forces assembling in the Lemayan Plain, so which is a large flat area that is directly to the north of the Thermopylae and Bralas Passes. So, and those two guns managed to hold up the Germans for a couple of days, in fact, delaying the attack, which the German advance, held up the Germans and allowed many thousands of Australian, New Zealand and British soldiers to escape from Greece. So that's what this battle was all about. It was a delaying action in the same way that the Spartan action had been, to hold up time against, in the Spartans' case, the Persians, and in the case of the Anzacs, the Germans. So allowing their comrades further south to regroup, to prepare themselves. In the case of the Australians and New Zealanders and the British, yes, to escape. In the case of the Spartans, to give their Greek comrades more time to fight the ultimate, you know, battles that they would need to fight to expel the Persians. So
it's interesting that you draw these parallels because a few years ago I spoke to a lady in Greece at Abelakia in Tempe, mm-hmm. Vasa Solomou Xanthaki, and she remembered the Battle of the Pineios Gorge very well.
Yeah.
She actually told me exactly the same thing when I asked her, how do you remember these people? Because her village was on the front line. The village was on the front line.
Bad place to be.
Yeah, correct, correct. And of course, the villagers had to evacuate the night before to the mountains.
There's some very famous photos taken by George Silk of those Greeks escaping into the mountains. Yeah.
Well, interestingly, when I asked her, how do you remember these people who fought here, the allies, the Australians and New Zealanders? Mm. And she said, we remembered them like another Thermopylae.
Mm.
They knew what it was coming,
yeah.
But they stood and fought for the freedom of all people.
That's right. I mean, look, the reason why places like Tempe and Thermopylae and Bralas were chosen as places where the Anzacs made their stands was because they were heavily outnumbered by the Germans, just as the Greeks had been heavily outnumbered by the Persians. And the only way that a small force can hope to fight a large force on anything like an equal footing is if they find a very confined piece of geography.
Try to find some kind of advantage.
Yeah, that's right. They need to make a stand in a very narrow place where they can't be, where the front is small, and so a smaller number of group of soldiers can hold back a much larger group of soldiers. Now, in the case of the original battle of Thermopylae the Spartans and their Greek allies were doing very well until the Persians found a traitor that led them through a mountain pass that allowed them to outflank the Spartans and to kill them to a man. Now, the interesting thing about April 1941, 24th of April 1941, is that the Anzacs knew about that story. They knew that it was possible to be outflanked in this part of the world, and they didn't want it to happen to them. And so that's why there were two battles fought in this area, one at Thermopylae, which was held by New Zealand forces, and Bralos Pass, which was another pass a little further south, which was held by the Australians. And both sides knew that they had to fight concurrently, and they had to both pull out at the same time, because if either one of those passes had fallen before the other, then the Germans would have been able to get in around behind and destroy the other force. So they had actually learnt, you know, that this was one of the most famous lessons in military history, is that if you're fighting this kind of action, you must ensure that you cannot be, you know, that you will not be outflanked. You must have like a reliable force nearby. So it's really, that's another important aspect of the exhibition, because the Australians and the New Zealanders were able to withdraw with pretty minimal losses. And that's why this battle is perhaps not as famous as, you know, the original Battle of Thermopylae, which of course was this very brave, heroic last stand. Thankfully, the battles of Bralos Pass and Thermopylae were not that for the Australians. There would be later battles where, you know, there would be greater losses in Greece, you know, and Crete too, for that matter.
Let's come back to this exhibition today. What would the visitors see in this exhibition? What are the contents of the exhibition, and how long did it take you to put it all together?
Visitors are going to see some really tremendous things, and for that reason alone.
For example,
we have a full set of hoplite armour and some other ancient artefacts, some ancient black figure vases depicting hoplite warfare. The armour is on loan from a collector of antiquities in Sydney, Mr. Louis Dunas, who I met through the Hellenic Museum, and he's been a tremendous gift to me in the development of this exhibition, and I think to the people of, well, any visitor to the shrine is really going to enjoy seeing these things. There's some beautiful paintings by Sir William Dargie, the Australian official war artist who painted the scenes in Greece where the actions took place. He's a very famous Australian painter, won the Archibald Prize 8 times, I think. We've got a selection of Australian, New Zealand, Greek and German army uniforms from the Second World War. We've got a number of items on loan from various members of the 2nd Field Regiment Association, highlighting some of the important personalities from that regiment that took part in the battle. So, look, there's really so much to see, and I think people are really going to love to see those things. As far as how long the exhibition took to produce, probably from go to woe about 9 months, and probably 6 months of me really working hard at it. But to be honest, making those connections with the various group, with the various collectors, where I loaned those wonderful items, working with National Gallery of Victoria, with the University of Melbourne, who loaned the vases, the Australian War Memorial, who, as I said, loaned the Dargie paintings. Yeah, so there was a lot of work that went involved. The design of the exhibition itself is inspired by those Greek vases. It's a beautiful terracotta colour paint and an ancient Greek border, like of the type that used to appear on pots and so forth. So I really wanted to immerse people in the ancient world so that I could better draw parallels between it and what happened in 480 BZ with what happened later in April 1941.
How long will this exhibition be open?
The exhibition will be open until April next year.
April 2027.
Correct, yeah. So there's plenty of time to come in and see it, but don't dally too much, because these dates do come up quicker than you think. One of the things that the exhibition has is I've got a number of quotes printed up on the wall that pertain to various aspects of the campaign. And the very last one that I've got, I think, really sums up the attitude of the Australians when they were forced to leave Greece. The quote comes from Chester Wilmot, who was the ABC war correspondent who was in Greece at the time. And this is how he signed off. "I know that our troops are glad and proud they had a chance to fight for and with the Greeks. Their only regret is that they hadn't a chance to do better. This time they fought against overwhelming odds, but there will be other times and better days." So this was something that the Australians were always guilty about when they learnt just the full extent of the horrors that the Greek civilians had to undergo during the occupation. I mean, it was something like 500,000 Greek civilians died as a result of the actions of the Italians, the Germans, the Bulgarians, and famines. And then, of course, there was the horrible civil war that followed. I mean, this invasion was just terrible, terrible chapter in Greek history. And the Australians, the New Zealanders and the British and the other soldiers that went there to try and help Greece, any of those men that I ever spoke with before, they're all gone now, that I knew, were always very sad to the day they died about that aspect of the campaign.
On the website, on the Shrine of Remembrance website, where there is a description of the exhibition, this description starts by saying something along the lines of Australia had its own Thermopylae, but it's forgotten.
Yeah.
Do you believe there is a gap in historical knowledge about that period and as such a gap in our collective memory?
Yeah, look, I think in Australia and New Zealand, I think that there was a kind of willful forgetfulness in the sense that it was such a disastrous campaign as far as the Australian and New Zealand governments were concerned.
The Greek campaign of 1941.
Yes, true, yes. I mean, it was there was a lot of Australian soldiers that were captured, and it was seen as a bit of a debacle, and I think for that reason it was played down and people didn't go out of their way to publicise what had gone on there, and I think that's a real shame. In fact, years ago I read there was an article that described Australia's Thermopylae, but they weren't talking about the actual Battle of Thermopylae that Australians fought in 1941. They were talking about the Battle of Isurava in New Guinea. They were describing, the Battle of Isurava as Australia's Thermopylae in the sense that it was, like a heroic stand against odds, but they'd forgotten, and to me I always thought, they're talking about, a place in New Guinea as like Australia's Thermopylae. And they meant in a figurative way. That's right. They're talking in a figurative way without any reference whatsoever to the fact, hang on, Australians and New Zealanders were actually at Thermopylae and very nearby at Bralas Pass. So, if that means that the battle hasn't been forgotten by a general audience, I don't know what does, Certainly anyone who was involved in it, in that battle and their families, they certainly know this, and I guess some military historians Australian military historians would be aware of this battle, but as far as the general population, no, I don't think so. And I think that's really another reason why I really wanted this exhibition to occur, and another reason why I thought, well, if people actually maybe people will remember it more if it is linked to a much more famous, battle from ancient times, which, of course, everybody has heard of. And that's not to... And I certainly do that with the greatest respect. I have great admiration for what the Spartans did in their time and for the Anzacs in their time. And that's why the pairing of these iconic words, Spartans and Anzacs, is not only do they describe groups of people, but they are in of themselves such powerful words that as soon as you hear those words, you've got an image in your head about, what a Spartan is, what an Anzac is. And to bring those together, I mean, I just can't think of, just bringing these two iconic legends together. And the exhibition explores that idea too, about how large these men, and in the case of the Anzacs, there were nurses there as well, of course, so women as well, just how important they are in the way that the people of Greece view their history and the way that the people of Australia and New Zealand view theirs.
On that one, deciding about holding this exhibition, going ahead with this exhibition, did the fact that Melbourne has a big Greek community take you into consideration? in regards to holding this exhibition.
Well, look, to be honest, yes. I grew up in Melbourne. I had a lot of Greek-Australian friends growing up. My sister married into a Greek-Australian family with a Greek-Australian chap, Jim Pazos, who was a gunnery officer in the Royal Australian Navy in the Second World War.
More broadly.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
because
I guess what I was getting to was that it
is the town out of the city outside of Greece the biggest Greek-speaking population in the world.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I guess I was getting in a very roundabout way to explaining how important the Greek presence is in Melbourne, like just the enormous footprint that the Greek Australians have in this city and the contributions they've made. And yet, of course, I thought I'd love to do something for, you know, Greek Australian people in Melbourne and provide them with an exhibition that I think they're really going to enjoy and want to come and see. Certainly not just Greek Australians. I want everyone to come to the exhibition and enjoy it. But I thought that there'd be among the Greek Australian population, there'd be an especially interested, or I hope there'd be an especially interested group of a demographic.
You gave us many good reasons. And when I say you gave us, I mean you gave to the Greek community many good reasons to come and see this exhibition, Spartans and Anzacs. But apart from the Greek community, why would anyone come and see it?
I think anybody who loves history and loves to see what levels of heroism and ingenuity people are capable of when their backs are to the wall and when all other hope seems lost, how they can present the best of themselves, you know, and think of others and, you know, the safety of their family, their friends, their country. And I think that's why Thermopylae, the original battle, has come down to us and why it's still so famous. And I think anyone who's interested in just how people can rise to the, you know, to their bravest and to their best should come to this exhibition, because whatever part of the world they've come from to come to this country, I think they're going to enjoy.
Mr. Shaki, thank you very much.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.